I'm John Kroll. Today on The Limits, we're going to talk about small shopping trends in Indiana as more people explore gift options outside of big box stores and malls. My guests will be Brittany Smith from Yelp and Amanda Taflinger, owner of Homespun. Please join the conversation. You can call us at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or you can track us down on Twitter at WFYI. Now, this news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're going to be talking today about small shopping trends, particularly the ways people have moved away from the more traditional models of holiday shopping. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or you can track us down on Twitter at WFYI. My guests are Brittany Smith from Yelp and Amanda Taflinger, owner of Homespun. Welcome back to the show, both of you.
Thanks for having us.
It's good to have you both here. So probably we ought to talk about just let's start macro and then move micro, okay? Move it down to the more practical level. For those of us who are of a certain vintage, just the way holiday shopping in general has changed over the years, where, you know, if not all that long ago, certainly within the past generation, at this time of year, if you tried to go anywhere near a mall, you would be driving around the mall forever looking for a parking place. And then once you got in there, it would be shoulder to shoulder. If you found something you wanted to get for someone, working your way through the transaction process was about another half hour and all of that. It was just a really nightmarish prospect that people dreaded. If you go to a mall now, yeah, they're crowded, but it's nowhere near that way. Brittany, you're making eye contact with me, so I'm going to go.
Speaking of the poor malls.
Yes. Well, that. Although I think they're still making money, some of them anyway. Yeah. Let's talk a bit about what produced that change, because you think about it in time, it was a really rapid one.
Yeah. I just think about how it used to be, you go in there, how can I mark off all the things on my to-do list in one quick swipe? And now people are looking for more creativity and hearing the story behind the products and being able to support a business like Amanda, where you know it's Amanda's business and her family live right here. People are looking for something more out of that transaction than they used to be. Yeah.
Well, and what happened, though, I mean, to some degree, it's this phenomenon, Amanda, that helped make businesses like yours possible, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think, I remember definitely going on Black Friday or just the busy holiday seasons in the malls. I remember going with my mom around the holiday seasons, and it was
You couldn't find something more spiritually satisfying, like ramming your head against the wall repeatedly. Yeah.
But now I think we've been open for 8 years, and mm-hmm. we've been working in the handmade sector since 2010. So we've been doing this for about 10 years total. And I think there just became a point where people kind of got exhausted with the level of intense consumerism. And this is, mm-hmm. I don't have any numbers on this or anything, but this is just my speculation. I mean, it seems to be what a lot of our customers are telling us, is that they just, the crowds and the compulsive buying and the intensity of that tradition just got to be too much, and people really started valuing, going the other direction and maybe buying one thing that was a little bit more expensive but much more unique and much more interesting and would be much more cherished.
Mm-hmm. How much of this is also, obviously the development of online shopping and that was a huge transformative effect, but in some ways it also hastened the dynamic you're talking about too, because while the malls may not have been the most personal shopping experience, and certainly there was a kind of almost dehumanizing quality about that.
Right.
there's absolutely no human contact when you go online.
Right.
Brittany, you're nodding your head here because in some ways it took us one step beyond what the mall experience
shopping
was.
In my PJs is what people say now. Yeah. Like Christmas shopping, not leaving your house. And there is that side of it. But I do think I'm hoping that more and more people are thinking about also just like the economy of Indiana and how those purchases make an impact there too, and what our Mass Ave looks like, what does our Fletcher Place look like, and how those different purchases impact the bigger picture beyond that.
How with this, and I think that's part of what's going on. People want to have, as Amanda says, a more personal connection to what they get and they give. To people, but they're also much more conscious about where those dollars are going to. I see you both nodding. I want to hear both people's thoughts, but I'll start with Amanda because she started nodding first.
Well, okay. I think, handmade, shop local, shop small, those things are all kind of buzzwords right now, but they're still relevant and they're still very important. I think people are, I think that you have to balance convenience and speed with what you may get online, with that feeling that you should be doing something valuable with your money. If you're spending it, if you're buying a lot of stuff, I think a lot more people are more conscious of where they're putting it and who it's going to. And so in our business, we work directly with a lot of makers. So when our customers come to us, we can tell them about that maker. We can tell them who it's going to, what that person does, where they learned their skill or their craft, what their family is like. And so they know that when they buy this, hand-carved wooden bird from a maker in Noblesville, that money is going to help this, teacher in retirement fulfill his passion or, continue his craft that he's loved, or helping a single mom put her kid through dance lessons or whatever. So I think people enjoy kind of coming back to that. I mean, we're getting so little human connection in so many other places right now with the prevalence of online shopping and all the social media that I think people really are starting to kind of crave that. And so when they know where their money is going, it really strikes a chord with them.
Brittany, is it also the point you were making about how they see this also as an opportunity to invest in the local economy, to bring them, there's a certain amount of enlightened self-interest, I think was the case that you were making there.
I think there are for some. I can't say that's for everybody. But Amanda was making me think about one of the features on Yelp. It's about the business, where the business owner shares their story. And that's one of the favorite things that consumers love is like seeing, okay, Cardinal Spirits in Bloomington, they got started on this career path for XYZ reason, and knowing before they make that purchase that, oh, it's going to this family, or how they got there, and hearing a little bit more about that, people are more curious now to see that next step of the business.
Brittany, I'm going to stay with you. Do we have numbers now on the number of people or percentages of the shopping economy now that do this, I think, pretty informed approach to their purchasing during the holiday season?
Yeah. I did pull some numbers for you, John.
Good. Thank you.
I wrote these down. That's what I was referring to. Yelp actually worked with Harris Poll to pull some data for 2018. And based on those results, 153 million people in America are planning to shop local in 2018, which is up from 2017. But I think something that we should celebrate as Hoosiers is that Indianapolis was on the list as the 17th most shop local friendly city in the country, based on the number of retail businesses and searches that consumers are doing in that market wanting to shop local. So that's something that I'm really excited to think about from a nationwide perspective, is that years ago, looking at our city, the options that were out there, and then the homespuns and all of those businesses that have now made us a shop local savvy community.
How much of this, because part of what drove everybody toward the big box stores is they could afford the massive marketing campaigns, all of that, which presumably I'm guessing you don't have a 7 or 8 figure budget for.
Absolutely
for
not.
Getting. So, Amanda, to some degree, we just dumped all over online as a depersonalizing effect. But it's also become a tool that makes businesses like yours possible, because how would they find you?
Oh, right. I mean, and I won't deny that I do my share of online shopping as well. It's like I said, it's the convenience for some things and personal touch for others. But Yeah, I mean, we do not have a web store yet for our store, but we're actually working on one because we find that that is a lot of people are still buying things that way. Even if they want to come to a small business, they're still buying online. I mean, Etsy is hugely popular. People still buy a lot of handmade, and they find makers locally on a venue like that. But yeah, I mean, we check our Google rankings, we check our searchability on different platforms, you know, our recommendations on Facebook and Etsy and Yelp, I mean, are all critically important to us. So all of that, you know, being online, having a presence on social media is of absolute utmost importance to any small business. I mean, you really have to get out there and make yourself known that way and then encourage people to come visit you in person.
How much of your business, do you have a sense how much of it comes through those, you know, those search functions?
I know that Yelp is our number one. Most of the, I don't know the percentage, but I know we've looked at this recently, but I can't remember what the number is. But the largest portion of our traffic coming to us from social media does come from Yelp.
How do you track that? I mean, is it through?
All of the different social media, they all have their own algorithms and analytics programs. And so you can pull up your data about who's searching for you, where they're coming from, how they reached out to you. You know, did they click on your website from your Yelp profile? Did they call your phone? Did they look for directions? So you know how they're coming to you and from which social media platform.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about small shopping during the holiday season. If you want to join the conversation, you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi. You can track us down on Twitter at WFYI, or you can do what a listener named Jackie has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Jackie, you're on the air.
Hi there. How are you?
Doing well. How about you?
Just great.
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to make the point. I'm a silversmith. I'm one of 30-plus artists at a co-op gallery up in Carmel, Indiana. It's called Cecia Gallery. We started in Broderville, moved to Zionsville, and now we're in Carmel, 40 years going. And I just wanted to make the point of what these ladies were talking about, is that when a customer comes in, there is this charm, this thrill, when the customer gets to meet the artist who made the art. And buying local made jewelry or ceramics or whatever, you know, is a thrill for them, but it supports our economy right here in Indianapolis or Indiana, wherever you are.
Thanks very much for the call and the comment, Jackie, and happy holidays.
Yeah, same to you. Thanks so much for having the show.
Certainly. So, Brittany, I saw you nodding your head there. Do you have anything to add besides amen?
Yeah, she was making me think about how when my husband and I travel now, we'll go to different cities, and I swear we're on like this unspoken mission to meet all the business owners. It's like I'm mentally, it's become like a normal
thing. Why does Busman's Holiday?
It's like you go to a new city and you're like, oh, great, these are the donuts. Like, who's making the donuts? Or like asking questions. It's like this new level of curiosity that makes whatever amount of money I'm going to spend at that experience, like, takes it to the next level. It's not just about how tasty is that donut. I'm just like randomly referring to donuts, but how was the experience with the business? How did I leave feeling after it? And she made me think about that. It's a really cool thing. Like the memories that you make when you're traveling or in your own backyard through those experiences.
And how, I'll stay with Brittany on this. How is it that, you know, on something like, how do you communicate that kind of experience?
Yeah.
To people who are looking for it. I mean, that's really because a lot of what you're doing is selling stories, right?
Yeah, and a lot of it is people who are excited about going to a business like Amanda's. Let's say it's someone from Indianapolis or it's someone from San Francisco visiting. They walk away having an experience that they were feeling so moved to actually write about it in their own free time about this customer experience and then hopefully help other consumers find them at the end of the day, which Amanda is a very business savvy lady, I have to say. She was actually, Homespun was one of our top rated retailers from the whole state before we pulled data. So it's really fun to see how when someone walks away from that business, they feel inclined to actually share that experience and help other consumers.
And how important is that feedback to your business model, Amanda?
I mean, it's critical. It's really good for staff morale. You know, when we get positive reviews, we share it with staff so then they feel more excited and they are happy that someone noticed the extra care they took to package a gift at the holidays or to have a conversation with them and inquire about where they were coming from and what they had visited in town and give them some recommendations. So it's good for my staff, but it also obviously is good for our business. And when we get, you know, a negative review, that's also helpful to share with staff. So that we know some touch points where we could improve, things we could do a little bit better.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about small shopping during the holiday season here in Indiana. My guests are Brittany Smith from Yelp and Amanda Taflinger, owner of Homespun. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or track us down on Twitter at WFYI. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please, stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking about small shopping during the holiday season, about the different ways people now are experiencing the holidays and gift giving and the shopping experience. My guests are Brittany Smith from Yelp and Amanda Taflinger, owner of Homespun. If you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can track us down on Twitter at WFYI, or you can do what a listener named Christy has done and reach out to us via Facebook. You can find us there at nolimits@wfyi. Christy writes, "Oh my gosh. Hi, guys. I just got back in my truck from dropping off packages at the post office, and I recognized your voices on the radio. Yes to everything you guys are saying. I'm guessing you know this person."
Yeah. I don't know. What was her last name? Hey, Christy.
I have no idea what Christy's. They don't share that information.
She loves shopping local.
We can hear that. That's great.
So let's talk a little bit, because with all of this, and I'll start with Amanda on this. That also seems like, you know, the people who are working in your business have to be trained in a different way. And in a lot of retail, it was just you had to know the kind of the product, what the price point was, and, you know, and some things like that. But beyond that, it was just, you know, you punch in the numbers and you move it and you agree to be helpful there. To some degree, I can't think of a better way to say this. Your people have to be able to shape a narrative.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we definitely, I will say as a business owner who didn't have any background in business, I was really surprised at how difficult it is to hire. We definitely want somebody who is friendly and able to have a conversation with a total stranger and enjoy having that conversation, not just fake it, but really like become engaged with somebody they don't know. And I think, you know, over the years, we have had a great number of fantastic employees who just delve into those conversations, and they love hearing stories. They love telling stories. They love explaining the origin of the product, what it's made with, who made it, why they made it. I mean, and some of my employees are just like, I can just tell that they thrive on that and they love that. And that's their favorite part of the job.
How much homework is involved?
I mean, you know, I try not to send them home with that much homework. We only have a couple of
full-time
employees.
Are there weekly quizzes, or is that?
There's not, but we do have a file that's vendor education so that our employees can read that when there's downtime on the sales floor so that they do know a little bit about each of the vendors. And of course, we carry over 400 different makers, so it's obviously impossible for everybody to remember everything about them. But, you know, we make sure we have websites handy and tidbits right there so that they can access all of that quickly for the customers.
Brittany, is this changing the way we think of salesmanship and selling?
Yeah, I was thinking about how you wouldn't probably walk into Macy's and expect them to tell you the narrative of the products or have as many ideas as when you go into Homespun. You're going to be like, I'm searching for a gift for a man. And they can just like unroll all these great local products. Mm-hmm. And I just love that, especially with Homespun, it's not just that you're promoting that one business, but you're promoting all the businesses that fall under that umbrella. So it's a cool tiered element.
If you're just joining us, we are talking about shopping small for the holidays. If you want to join the conversation, you can do what a listener named Christy has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Christy, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. How are you? Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly.
I did want to comment. On Sunday, I found myself in Broad Ripple, and I saw that they had the Beastie book, or the Beastie Boys book for sale. Not made by a person, not by a maker, but it was being available for sale in a local store. And I grabbed it, and I knew I wanted to buy it, but I knew also that I could buy it on Amazon for $38. They wanted $50. I'm standing there at the register, and I'm trying to be, trying to think with my emotions and not with my very type A brain. And there was a sign right there, right at the register, staring at me, and it said, thank you for shopping local. Lunar Records appreciates your business. And it said something to the effect of, for every $100 spent in your local city or your local community, like $42 of that or whatever stays in your community. And that was, and I'm a buyer of, things that are made by makers, mm-hmm. but this just happened not to be. And that was so impactful to me. And I think, if you see that kind of posted around a little more often when you're in a local shop and you know you're going to be spending a little bit extra money, you're going to get that sale. You're going to give those people that you're standing there in front of your business, because I just thought that was incredibly impactful.
So just to make sure,
I just wanted to comment on that.
Just so I make sure that I am crossing the T's and dotting the I's. Did you buy the book there, or did you go
online?
Oh,
my gosh, yes.
Yay. Okay, good. All right.
And I hope my husband isn't listening right now.
Thank you very much for calling and sharing the story, Christy.
Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly.
Have a good day, you guys.
You too.
Thanks.
Certainly. So, yes, Amanda.
Oh, that's one of the things that you see flying around a lot on social media. There's a little image of all the facts about mm-hmm. when you spend your money locally, how it's divided up, where it goes, how it's impactful to your community. But another one of my favorites is there's a little handwritten note that looks like a post-it, and it says, every time you shop local, a real person does a tiny little happy dance. And I love sharing that because it's true. When people come into my business, not only is the money staying here, but it also just makes me so happy. It's happy for me. It's a great thing for me to know that people are going out of their way to come to us. And then again, that trickles down to my employees and the vendors that we work with and my family and all of their families. So there actually are happy dances going on as well.
how much of this, though, because as I'm listening to this, we are really conditioned, through cultural training and then in some ways a lot of, business training. And you always look for the lowest price.
Right.
You always look for
and
this is a much more sophisticated model of consumerism that we're talking about that really says on the spot when Christy is standing there, trying to debate whether to buy it here or buy, she's got to make a whole lot of return on investment calculations
right.
there that normally we would not associate in those. You just go where the lowest price can be. So how much of this has been a project just of educating consumers about the ways that they spend their money? Brittany, you're looking thoughtful. Yeah. So I'm
Christy was speaking my language. I had that moment, that exact moment this weekend at Indie Reads, and I knew I was spending a fair amount more than the books were on Amazon. But I looked around, and it was Santa Day with Bring Your Dog into Indie Reads. And I was like, you're not going to get that on Amazon. You're not going to have that experience. And knowing the people behind the counter personally, and a little part of what you're paying for is the warm fuzzies. I know it's not great business math, but in that transaction, it's partial entertainment too. It's an experience beyond when you click online. You're not going to feel warm fuzzies, and sometimes mm-hmm. you'll have more buyer's remorse than what you would have in the store.
Amanda.
Well, I think too, a lot of people have discretionary funds, and they can justify, spending $5 a day at Starbucks, but then they want to find the cheapest thing on Amazon to buy for holiday gifts. And I think people are starting to replay that scenario in their minds and think, you know what, like, I would rather buy this unique item here and spend a little bit more for it and skip my Starbucks today or skip my coffee beverage or something. I mean, people are figuring out ways to make more valuable purchases and stop the compulsive consumerism and spend money in a more meaningful way, I think.
Is that what they tell you, you know, when they're in the stores? I mean, do you have those kinds of conversations?
It is. Yeah, yeah. I mean, we do. We hear it all the time. I mean, there are some people, you know, my employees and myself will hear people walking around and we'll hear some people go, oh, my gosh, you know, this is $30. Like, I could make something just like this, or I could, you know, find something like this at Walmart. And so, you know, some people aren't able to be convinced that the value is in the story or the importance of having that money go back to the maker. But a lot of people will kind of, you'll hear them have a more in-depth conversation about it, or they'll come up to us and ask us, like, can you tell me what this is made of? You know, why is this much money when I could get it somewhere? And we can tell them the story behind it. And some people do come around to it and are quite happy to.
How much of it is also, I mean, what I hear, and I may be oversimplifying all of this, is that, you know, with the smaller shopping you're not just selling the product, you're selling the experience as well, or selling the relationship.
I do think that's a big part of it. I mean, you know, like Brittany said, you know, like I don't enjoy the time I spend buying something on Amazon, but I enjoy going into Indie Reads and spending an hour in there looking at the bookshelves and seeing things that I hadn't even thought of pop into my mind, and seeing my son's excitement when he finds a book that he absolutely loves. And, oh, hey, there's a chessboard over here, so I can sit at the bookstore and play chess while I'm, you know, waiting for mom to finish looking at her books. You know, I mean, there's just a lot more to it when you're in a small shop with a personality rather than making your quick purchase on Amazon. That's about efficiency.
Yeah, Brittany, how much, same question, basically. Yeah. How much of it is that they're selling the experience and the relationship?
I believe that 100%. I think also connecting yourself with your community and what's right in your backyard. And I think about these pioneer businesses like Goose the Market. When they first set up shop, everybody thought it was kind of crazy to have this high-end cheese and meat shop. And now look at it. They've flourished. It's been almost 10 years. And now we've got Wildwood Market. We've got Rail Epicurean Market. People are obviously looking for that and to have it in their backyard. Right. And those businesses have made such an incredible impact on their block, in their neighborhood, the value of real estate in their area. Like, I mean, you can trickle it down to so many things based on these businesses and these pioneers who took a chance and started a business.
But I would think it also changes the model to some degree in that if you are selling an experience or selling a relationship, then, you know, you got to craft your business entirely differently and think about the whole customer relationship. But, you know, Amazon's going to be really upset with us probably.
By the end of the
let's just say that any online, really strong online presence, you know, the model is purely transactional there. It is, as long as they can capture the funds from my credit card, they're happy. And as long as the products arrive in my mailbox or on my front doorstep, I'm happy. With this, it's a different kind of thing with different expectations on both sides. And I'm just curious about how that has changed consumer behavior and ways it's changed the way businesses are structured. Brittany's avoiding eye contact, so
So something that we have different facets to our business. So we aren't just a retail store.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a gallery space. So we have bi-monthly rotating gallery shows. We have a different local artist whose work goes up. So then we have an event around that. We have an opening, you know, reception for that artist each month. We also offer workshops and classes. I think a lot of businesses are having more in-store experiences, not just the experience of shopping, but they're also having classes and workshops and Yelp event, you know, night out and other things like that. And they're tying in and collaborating with other businesses and other types of organizations to find other ways to bring people in so that those basic shopping experiences can be built on and enhanced in a lot of ways.
Yeah. When we were off air, we were talking about this and just thinking about how more people now are buying, just to go off this experience point, they're buying cheese making classes with Tulip Tree Creamery. They're buying plant building, like house plant classes with Grounded. Touring. Like, yeah, people are wanting to actually buying a little less stuff, but still shopping local through the process.
We have
go ahead.
There are people who... you know, we have a local artist that we work with. Her company's called Cordial Kitten, and she does custom portraits in like a children's illustration style. And so we sell kits where people can order the portrait from her and then get a custom portrait of their family made. So rather than just buying things, they're buying things that people can engage with when they get that as a gift. They take an action to complete that or follow through on it. So there are a lot of different ways that experience can be extended, I guess.
Mm-hmm. If you're just joining us, we are talking about shopping small for the holidays. If you want to join the conversation, you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi. You can track us down on Twitter at WFYI, or you can do what a listener named Kay has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Kay, you're on the air.
Hi. Here's a real life dilemma I just faced. We moved here 10 years ago from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and every year I send untold numbers of packages back home for Christmas. And so this year I thought I really wanted to send something from Indiana. And I have sent popcorn before, Indiana corn. And I had a really hard time finding something that would, you know, where I didn't have to, like, know a size or whatever. And also where the shipping wasn't crazy, you know. And, like, I had to know the name of a specific shop. So I was wondering if, like, someone could create a website or something where shops, it could be a clearinghouse for shops across Indiana to, like, make themselves available, and I don't know, have some kind of a shipping deal like Amazon. I don't know where it was just really frustrating. I wound up not sending something from Indiana, you know, by purchasing something else entirely, but, you know, I don't know. So I just lay my dilemma at your
feet. We'll see if we can get an answer for you. Thanks very much for the call, Kay.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. So, Brittany, I mean, is there a way now that you can go online and just, you know, even if there's not a dedicated website, but just say you want to shop Indiana and collect businesses?
There's a couple of different ways. I mean, there's a local company called USI, United State of Indiana, and they have all things Indiana related, and they do carry the products. They wholesale for some other artists as well. So they carry products from People for Urban Progress and several different local illustrators. So there's a lot of Indiana stuff there. There's also, you could go to Etsy and search Indiana makers on Etsy and specifically find people local to, I'm not sure if you can break it down to the city, but you can break it down to the state. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's a couple of ideas. I don't know about a local website. There is a company called Indiana Originals, and they have stuff listed on their website of all Indiana businesses as well. And I don't know about shipping from there, but they at least give you a guide to some local places.
Is that one of the sort of barriers for, you know, since it seemed to be that one of the big barriers was dealing with shipping.
Shipping is just going to be expensive. I mean, we ship things out for customers all the time. We have a huge Indiana selection at our store. We carry everything from T-shirts to jewelry to home decor that's Indiana related or made in Indiana. We'll ship from the store, but it is, you know, we usually ship with USPS flat rate, and it's just expensive. It's you know, it just depends on what you're shipping and the destination. I don't know that there's a whole lot of ways around that. For small businesses, at least, to offer discounted shipping, I don't know that that's a significant possibility.
Is that a persistent complaint, Brittany? The shipping, is that one of the barriers?
And I have heard this question that Kay had proposed too, and I was thinking of Indiana Originals, and I was like thinking for a minute, I'm like, I know someone has proposed this business idea to me, and now I feel like I'm forgetting something, and someone's going to follow up and be like, yes, it exists. But in my mind, I'm like, there are more and more that are creating online platforms to be purchasing from outside the state, to be shipping a pie, a sugar cream pie you can send from My Sugar Pie in Zionsville. But like Kay said, it is pricier, and I don't know where we're going to beat that particular challenge.
Right.
We are talking about shopping small during the holidays today on No Limits. My guests are Brittany Smith from Yelp and Amanda Taflinger, owner of Homespun. I am John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please, stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We're talking about shopping small during the holidays. My guests are Brittany Smith from Yelp and Amanda Taflinger, owner of Homespun. If you want to join the conversation, you can give us a call at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or you can track us down on Twitter at wfyi. So let me ask this. Is there kind of a price point for the shopping small, the shopping local movement? I mean, are there certain things, certain kinds of products that just will not work for? Amanda, you're leaning in. I was going to go with Brittany, but since you're eager, I'll go with you.
You know, I mean, we've sold a lot of different things over the years, and I mean, it depends on I don't think that there is. I think it just depends on what people are looking for. I mean, we have First Fridays every month, and people go and they spend thousands of dollars on art. So from a local artist. So, I mean, I feel like, you know, the people who can afford that kind of price point will spend it locally if that is available to them. You know, I don't know about the availability of like locally made electronics or locally made.
And that's really what I was going,
you know,
for.
Yeah. Like those kinds of things are a little bit more difficult to acquire locally, or at least I don't know of, you know, the right place to get them. I think gift items are obviously the biggest, easiest thing for people to get at the most reasonable price points. But, I mean, we've sold some more expensive, fashionable items. But, yeah, I think it's electronics and hardware and things like that are probably much more difficult to acquire locally.
Well, and I'm wondering, Brittany, is it much more because, you know, to some degree what we're talking about, it is the shopping experience also becomes a statement of one's values then.
Yeah,
this is what we care about. Yeah,
I was thinking about how people, not just in Indy, but how people are filling stockings now, and how what's coming out of a stocking, and how we just had our Yelp Bazaar a week or so ago, and a lot of the items that are purchased at that event are stocking stuffer sized and price point. So now there are so many options in our state that you can get a local chai tea, a local made mustard. Like there are so many just variations of things that we never used to have local that you can stuff a full stocking in one swipe with all these local items. And it shows what you value and how many businesses you supported. And people are thinking more about that.
Definitely.
If you're just joining us, we are talking about shopping small during the holiday. And if you want to join the conversation, you can do what Bill has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Bill, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly. What's on your mind?
Well, I heard you. I was driving down the road here. I pulled over so I could talk to you. I heard you talking about shopping small, and it made me think we're new to the area. We just moved here a few months ago, and we discovered at a local gallery, a group called Art Mix, ARTMIX, in Indianapolis. And it's a group that brings in special needs people. And together, they create these beautiful little works of art. Mm-hmm. We bought from them three little ceramic houses. They're probably 2 inches high. I think they were about $15 a piece, just as cute as can be. And we went to visit them and wound up buying one of each for all of our nieces and nephews instead of giving them a Target gift card or something. We said it's time for them to start their art collection. And it's a great little place. We actually found them at a little gallery in Fishers, 116 Gallery, I think it's called. They have work from these folks. And just shopping small. It's not a lot of money, and all the money goes into help these people with job training skills, social skills, and things like that. So I just wanted to make sure you were aware of that. If you'd ever heard of Art Mix, it used to be called VSA Art.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And where, Bill, if I might ask before I let you go, where did you come from to Indy?
Well, you can tell me I'm crazy. We came from South Florida.
Well, I very rarely call people crazy. So,
I get the chuckle reaction. I say traffic wasn't very bad. Traffic wasn't very bad coming this way. So.
Yeah, well, and you may have reason to regret in February, but that's still
it.
A couple of months away.
Well, we have our kids are in Chicago. We have family in Cleveland and Cincinnati, so this seemed like a good central location. But
well, we're glad.
If you ever get a chance to go to Art Mix, I'd love to have you down there, and you can go to this 116 gallery in Fishers. They have the work from these kids. I say kids, they're people of all ages that are working together on these projects.
Thanks very much for the call, Bill, and welcome to Indianapolis.
Thank you much.
Certainly.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. So, Art Mix,
yeah.
Brittany.
Yes, very familiar with Art
Mix. Yeah,
Art Mix,
they actually, I don't know if their work is just carried in Fishers, but they have their studios at the Harrison Center. So a lot of people are familiar with that. That's at 16th and Delaware, and they have all of their classes there. And so when we do the Handicraft Exchange there, which is our big winter, and we have it twice a year, the winter and the summer, they always participate, and they do an ice cream fundraiser in the summer where they sell bowls that they've made for $5 full of ice cream. And then at the winter show, they always have their gallery space and their classroom space open up as well. So we're definitely familiar with them.
Well, and clearly, I mean, it's like Bill called almost on cue to illustrate the point we were talking about,
yes.
that the shopping it becomes an expression of values and a personal statement about who you are and what you care about. I come back to kind of that question again of really how does that change the relationship between the business and the consumer? I mean, this sounds like it's a much more intimate experience than it would be. Amanda, how do you negotiate that? Because that carries with it some obligations for you that I would guess much larger operations just don't feel.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that we just try to be, we have kind of a standard for what we want to carry. We try to carry, obviously, good quality products, but we also look very hard at the makers that we forge relationships with to make sure that their product is what they say it is and that it's, you know, that we're well informed about it and that it's something that will have a story behind it or be a product that our customers are really driven to seek out. Try to represent the best of what's out there in handmade and in locally made product. And I think there's just a lot of naturally interesting stories behind each of those products by the people who take the time to make those or are invested in the product line that they're creating.
What's the profile of the person who comes into your shop?
Oh my gosh, it's all over the place right now. I mean, we have we're downtown at Mass Ave, but we did start out in Irvington. So we had a really, you know, we have a strong mix of tourists, local to the neighborhood, and then people who come from other parts of the city to find us. We have a lot of people. I always love it when somebody comes in and they're like, we came right from the airport. You know, so-and-so picked us up. We came in from Canada, and, you know, we love coming here when we're in town, so we came straight to you. But, I mean, we have everybody. You know, we have young kids that come in with their parents because they want to pick out a gift for the other parent, or we have people who just stumble across us. We have a lot of local neighborhood residents from downtown, and we've got people that come in from the suburbs as well.
If you're just joining us, we are talking about shopping small during the holidays. If you want to join the conversation, you can do what a listener named Yancey has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Yancey, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Love
Certainly.
The show. Always interesting local stuff, right?
Thank you.
I wanted to talk about, you know, your guest talked about the customer experience being a true experience rather than a transaction, and working in hospitality for the last 21 years in restaurants and hotels and stuff like that, it's the same thing we're trying to get across. You know, a room that has a comfortable bed and a door that locks is worth X, but we're trying to sell it for a multiple of that. So it's about engaging with the guest and helping them enjoy the local environment, finding the local shop, finding the local restaurant. Finding their way to Fountain Square and Mass Ave and these places that exist only where they exist, and giving them true Hoosier experiences that aren't you know, cookie cutter, and you can pick up at every mall across the country. It's just so wonderful to hear somebody share this story on the radio and get it out there a little bit better. Because, you know, we were known for a long time as being kind of, you know, we had every chain in the nation. you could visit any of the chains that you'd ever seen in any other city were available here. And we're changing that. And you know, people are really embracing it. Just to see the locals and the tourists get their hands around the idea that there's some truly local experiences that are not to be found anywhere else. It's really cool.
Thanks very much for the call, Yancey.
Absolutely.
Take care. So, Brittany, do you think we're going to see, because for a long time the trend obviously was toward consolidation, to achieving, you know, economies of scale, basically through getting bigger and bigger, and through the sheer size you could negotiate discount based on volumes for shipping and all of that. And what we're hearing now is that people are placing a value on that. Are we going to kind of reverse that trend and push it back to a much more kind of intimate relationship between producers and consumers?
Yeah, he actually was making me think about how the shop local growth has also impacted the hospitality industry. So I'm thinking of, you know, Nestle Inn off of Mass Ave, how now they give a gift certificate to the customers who are there to go to Coat Check Coffee down the street to promote another local business. How the new West Elm Hotel that's going in, actually across the street from Amanda, Homespun, how they're adding all these different local businesses to that mix, and how even the hospitality industry has to think about what kind of coffee are we serving on our menu, what type of tour offerings are we doing, what are we selling in our front of house store. So it's impacting multiple industries beyond just the actual shops. It's really fun to see how that's rolling out.
And is it, again, I mean, I'm thinking about the development of Airbnb and VRBO and all of that sort of stuff, which is different. But, you know, they're promising a much more kind of local experience, and you live like a local, literally, in a neighborhood or whatever when you are traveling. Would any of that have been possible without sort of the digital revolution?
This is a hot topic. I think about how when we started Yelp, and just 15 years ago, the community management department that we have, about taking online communities offline, and how that's now coming to be something that everybody's talking about and thinking about, how people are spending so much time on their phone, but we're realizing, like, we don't know how to socialize like we used to, or the kids are having issues in school, and how that trickles to everything. So I do think people are more aware of that, and hopefully this is a change that we'll continue to see, and that we put our phones down and we live in those moments.
We are talking about shopping small here on No Limits. Kelly, you're on the air.
Hi. I was wondering if your guests might address some of your favorite local experiences that people can purchase for gifts this year. And I just would like to say that I also think that gifts and experiences might help to bridge that gap when maybe a teenager is looking for a new iPhone. Maybe you can't find a locally made iPhone, but perhaps you can, you know, buy them an Instagram, you know, how to take Instagram pictures class from Newfields, or, you know, some of the different experiences that you can add on to some of those more traditional gifts, so that more people can see the city and experience that in a deeper and more meaningful way.
Thanks very much for the call and the question.
Do you want me to dive in?
Go ahead.
We're like scribbling down.
Yeah, we're both writing down a bunch of ideas. Well,
and you can plug Homespun.
At our store, I mean, we have workshops. We have weaving. We have macrame. We have, you know, terrarium building classes. We have a lot of different options. We have, you know, quick $15 classes that are called Second Saturday Crafternoons that meet for most of the year. And then we have more expensive classes. But in addition to the crafting classes that we have, I mean, there are, Britt mentioned earlier, cheese making classes. And we actually, my husband and I took one last year. That was fantastic.
So fun.
I believe it was from Tulip Tree Creamery, and those were great. I mean, you can do things like go to, you know, New Day Craft and get a gift certificate to go with your friends and have a flight tasting where you get, you know, four different samples of their meads and ciders, and you can sample them and pair them with different things. you
know,
dancing
go
classes.
We love this.
Oh, so much.
I was thinking of coffee cupping classes with Tinker Coffee, which is located on 16th Street, and they actually just got a new location, which is a really fun one, even just for a Saturday morning activity. Mm-hmm. It's only $15 a person.
Yep. Screen printing classes at Cathead Press.
Yes. And then I was also thinking of the butchery classes with Smoking Goose and Holy Cross. And I will say that burrata and mozzarella class with Tulip Tree Creamery is fun.
Yes.
I want to do it again. I've done it three times now.
Yeah. I mean, and then I know that you mentioned Nestle Inn earlier. They offer cooking classes. The wine shop on Mass Ave offers different events. They offer some wine tastings.
Yep.
They have psychic readings.
Chef Santessi at Saffron Cafe does a Moroccan cooking class.
There are local massage places like Lift in Fletcher Place. They offer, you could just, if you want to buy somebody a service, you can get local spas, local salons, local massage places, and they can all offer, you know, specific services.
This is like our Forrest Gump roll of shrimp.
Yeah.
Like, we can just keep
so
going.
Much stuff.
So let me ask this, and I'll step in because we're starting to get toward the end of the program. it's on a similar point here. If somebody is still, you know, we're just a few days away from the holiday, and if they're looking for a gift idea that specifically screams Indiana, let me say, how about if I could get one from each of you that is $20 or less, one that is in the 20 to 50 range, and say one that's 50 to 100.
That screams Indiana.
I'm going to go with my personal favorite to start us off. And I know this is like an old-timey classic, but I love it so much that we had it at our wedding. We did our wedding photo shoot there. It's Locally Grown Gardens on 54th Street. And this is what everyone asked for at all of our things, is taking the sugar cream pie from there. I've actually wrapped it in plastic wrap and sent it in the mail. It wasn't beautiful by the time it got there. But that is a fun shopping experience, too. Chef Ron, the reggae music, really cool atmosphere.
Oh, my gosh.
Amanda.
I'm trying to think of something. I love Tuttle Orchards. That's always been like my happy place since I was a kid. And they have the most amazing caramel apples. So go buy somebody, you know, half dozen caramel apples.
And how about, we're hungry.
How about, I know. I haven't had lunch yet.
How about the in the $20 to $50 range?
Gosh, Indiana specific?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
$20 to $50. You know, I would say they could make a tour of Mass Ave and do a lot of different things. You know, they could rent a scooter or rent one of the bikes. This might be a little chilly for the winter. Yeah. They might save this till the spring. But there's also, a board game parlor on Mass Ave called Kingmakers. And you could take your whole family there and spend an afternoon playing games and then go to some of the local businesses around. And you could probably spend less than $50 for quite a few people to play all day at Kingmakers.
Mm-hmm. Brittany, thoughts?
Something I love to do with people, and this is kind of taking it outside of downtown, is going to the International Marketplace neighborhood. And we love to do progressive dinner date nights. Mm-hmm. So I would challenge the person who's giving the gift to also find some new to them spots. So we'll go and have appetizers at one spot, dinner at another, and then dessert at like Mama Ina's Mexican Bakery. Ooh. So using that as a fun way to explore and make it, it's also a gift for you and them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that'll probably have to be the last word. This has been lively. I'd like to thank my guests, Brittany Smith from Yelp and Amanda Taflinger, the owner of Homespun, for what has been a fun conversation about shopping small and the joys of keeping business close to home. It's been a joy talking with both of you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you
so much.
And as usual, I'd like to thank our listeners for some great questions, comments, and stories. It's a lot of fun doing this show, in part because the audience is so great. Like everybody to come back on Thursday when we're going to be talking about another Indiana treasure, talking with another Indiana treasure, Judy O'Bannon, about environmental stewardship. I'm John Kroll. You've been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producers, Sarah Neal Estes, Roxana Caldwell, and Jill Sheridan. Interactive media coordinator, Scott McAllister. Technical producers, Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood, and board engineer, Joe Hatcher. Emily Matheny screens our calls. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.